Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who is oh so excited for finale week, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Web Show. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, and we are here live on robhasawebsite.com and on Spreecast. How the hell are you, everybody? Very excited to be back. I've got so much stuff to talk about here today in this show. So many different things to get to. Just a little look at the menu. Our specials this evening are, we're going to talk about the Amazing Race finale. Amazing Race 21 has come to an end, and it was the fabulous Beekman boys who ended up being the winning team on this year's Amazing Race. Congratulations to them. You know, we said all along that we didn't think they could do it, and then I have to give credit to our Amazing Race reporter, Jessica Lees, who first poached the idea of that there could be a Beekman boys as winners a couple of weeks ago. I said no, and then I sort of was keyed into this, and then last week's episode, the edit was just like, you know, everybody's counting us out, but we're still in this thing. And it's like, oh, you know, I'm starting to buy in. And then it was almost obvious in the last hour that the Beekman boys were going to be the winners of Amazing Race 21. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to check in with Jessica Lees. We're going to check in with Eric Curto, our video recapper for the Amazing Race. Both of them we're at the Amazing Race finale on Sunday night. They both have a ton of stories from Sunday night. We're going to hear everything that went on at the Amazing Race finale. Then we're going to turn our attention to another finale coming up. This Sunday night is the Survivor finale. And so we're going to talk with Tyler Sloan. He's going to show us a secret scene that he thinks could impact this week's episode. And we're going to take a look at that together live as we preview Survivor a little bit. And I have some fun stories from something I did yesterday. I was on the I was over at E, and I was on a end of the world Armageddon special for the soup, and I'll talk about that later on. So I don't know, we've got so many other things to get to. Jeff Probst's show tomorrow, I believe, is going to be the final five survivors, and we had some people from the Rob Has a Podcast community, including our producer, Jessica Frey, was there live for the taping. If stuff happens, Rob Has a Podcast is there. I think on Sunday alone, I got two different tweets of, here's what RC is doing today. Rob Has a Podcast has reached its tentacles out to all the facets of Survivor and reality TV. We are reality TMZ. TVMZ? What works better? Whatever. We'll figure that part out. But so many different things to get to this morning. So let's jump right into some Amazing Race talk. Jessica Lees, she was there at the Amazing Race finale. She's been covering the Amazing Race all season long for Rob Has a Podcast, both in blogs on Rob's website and here with me many weeks during the season as a as our embedded reporter at the Amazing Race finale party. Here she is. Let's see if she's hungover still from Sunday night. Jessica, how are you?
I got to admit, I am still a little hungover.
Hold on, Jessica. I have you on computers over here. Okay, good. No, that was totally me. That was totally me. You know, you wake up as early in the morning as I do, and you make a lot of mistakes. That's really what it comes down to. All right, Jessica. So, first off, the Amazing Race, I have to give you all the credit. You were like Nostradamus, that you saw this coming a few weeks ago, that said, don't count out these Beekman. Is it Beekman boys? Am I saying that right? Is it Beekman or Beekum?
Beekman. Yeah,
okay.
I don't think it's being psychic so much as having watched a lot of reality TV. You know what story is being set up after a while.
Yeah, I felt like it almost became obvious in the edit after we started thinking that way, that everything was just, you know, everything was breaking their way. Everything was like, hey, don't bet against us. Like, oh, really? You'll see. And so there you have it.
Yeah. Oh, anything can happen. And I'm enjoying being
anything
wet.
Can yes. So Jessica, could you rank the Beekman boys for us as Amazing Race champions? Are they in the bottom tier of Amazing Race champions, or were they unlucky in the beginning of the race and their true colors came out here at the end?
I would say they are clearly not the most satisfying winners we've ever had, but we've had a lot of really terrible winners. In fact, for a while there, it was like every time they'd go into a finale, I would pick the team I would least want to win, and that would be the team that would win. So at least these guys are, yeah, as people, they're extremely likable. As racers, they did kind of suck, and they did get very lucky. But I'm not quitting the show because I hate the winners.
Yeah, good. Don't quit the show.
Season three. There was season three.
Flo
and Zach.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes. How about that? What a recall on this guy.
Well, they were memorable.
Yeah. So, yes, is this the first time in Amazing Race history that a team won the race and they came in first for the first time ever in the last leg of the race?
It is not. It is the third time. In fact, the two previous times were seasons with returning players. And Eric and Danielle in Amazing Race 11 and Keisha and Jen in Amazing Race 18.
Okay. Interesting.
I looked at that and you were going to ask that. I didn't just know it.
You know how my mind works, Jessica. And so my next question, were either of those teams, had they been eliminated come in last in a non-elimination leg of the race?
I'm trying to remember. Eric and Danielle definitely did. And it was incredibly galling because they were kind of terrible. And I can't remember if Keisha and Jen did as well. Their two seasons are kind of merged together in my head.
Yeah, it's okay. Anyway, so were you happy with the Amazing Race finale before we get to the party stuff, the episode as a whole?
Yeah.
Was it a fitting end to this season?
Thank you. Sorry, my salad's here. I think so. I would have been way more disappointed if the Beekmans had just kind of rolled ass over tea kettle onto the final mat, but they actually did race very well in the last two legs. They kind of pulled it together.
Yeah. They came on strong.
Yeah. It was like they saved it all up for the end.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Amazing Race is a marathon, not a sprint.
It's not really a month-long race. It's 12 races over the course of a month. They only really need to win one leg.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. That's a good point. So in this final episode, we did have one of the first times this season, at least since Rob and Kelly are gone, that we had some feuding and some conflict on the race. And so we had this alliance that we've been seeing the last couple of weeks, which has been so dominant, kind of got exposed where Nadia and Natalie were talking very loud about the alliance and how they needed to get the Beekman boys out, but they overheard them, and then this became the source of a lot of drama between the Beekmans and the Twinnies.
I don't think that was necessarily a conflagration that came out of nowhere. I think it's been pretty clear all along to everybody that there's been factions. And I think what we were seeing was just kind of, I think it was one of many confrontations like that.
Really?
I think, especially
very
the tone, given the tone at Tarkon, I think there was definitely, that had happened a few times. I did think it was kind of classy of the Chippendales to kind of smooth things over with the Beekmans a little bit. I thought that was very classy of them.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite part of the episode was, besides when Lexi got hit on the head with the flagpole, my second favorite part of the episode was when Natalie and Nadia were saying, hey, you guys gotta lose them, don't let them follow you, they're following you, they're riding your coattails, lose them.
And that was insanely dumb to begin with, because if you're all going to the same place, there's not really... They might not even be actually following you so much as going the same direction as you. it was a little bit idiotic.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it really did seem to fire up the Beekmans. It was like, if anything, that really, like, focused them and got their competitive juices going. I mean, these are the same guys who, going back to when Ryan and Abby were getting detoured, they were going to, or getting U-turned, they were going to U-turn themselves so that they could be with Ryan and Abby to go the whole way. And they really, like, you know, pulled their heads out of their butt after that point.
Yeah, well, I think they finally, for a while, all of the animosity was being deflected onto Ryan and Abby, and all of a sudden now they're the ones that are left, and they're the ones that are the prime targets, and it turns out they actually fed off of it. I thought it was really great on their part.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, now, was it? I always get them confused. Which one had the ankle injury, and was this a fake ankle injury or not?
That was Josh. That was the elder Beekman, and I don't think it was a fake injury. I think what he said was when they went to Mallorca and they had the overnight boat ride, he was able to rest it and elevate it. They had like 11 hours on a boat where he could kind of recover a little bit. And if it wasn't something torn up, it probably healed fairly fast.
You know, these reality shows are funny too, because I mean, I go back to thinking back to Survivor the Amazon, and it is 10 years ago today that I got voted out of the Amazon, day 38 in the Amazon. So it's a very,
is it
a happy anniversary, unhappy anniversary? It's a happy anniversary. It was a fun time.
except
for not winning.
So that.
Yeah, that was good. And we had a fun party. But I posted a picture yesterday on my Facebook page of a snippet from that toga party that we had the night I got voted out of the Amazon 10 years ago today. But that being said, I go back to my season in the Amazon, and we were in the final four, and I was in an alliance of three people, and Jenna Marasco was obviously the fourth person in the game, and she was like, oh, I have my, I'm sick, I have tonsillectomy, I don't want to be here. But and then as soon as she got a little momentum, that was it. No more tonsillitis, no more any of this. You know, she's feeling great now all of a sudden. And I think it's the same thing on the race where it's like, Josh is like, oh, we're losing. Oh, my ankle is killing me. Oh, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, you got a little momentum. Ankle's not hurting anymore. And I don't think it's necessarily that he was faking it before, just like I don't think Jenna was faking it. But it's like, oh, you know, the world is on my shoulders. Everything sucks. And then one thing, it's like there's a glimmer of hope now, and you forget about all that stuff.
Some people rise to the occasion when the real pressure hits them.
Yeah, not this guy. That's right. All right, so Jessica, let's take some questions here, and then I want to hear some good stories. Natalie says, not Natalie and Nadia, Natalie Kuchik. What do you think about the twins repeatedly calling the Beekman boys Team Gay? They also called them the Evil Gays. I was actually going to bring this up with Eric, but do you want to weigh in on this, Jessica?
It was a little bit questionable, but I think it was just a shorthand. I don't believe it was pejorative in its intent. They could have phrased it better. They could have called them Josh and Brent. It's the exact same number of syllables.
They could have. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I don't think that there's any homophobic attitudes coming from Natalie and Nadia. I don't think they dislike them. I think that they were just, you know, trying to come up with a nickname there. And maybe that wasn't the best one.
Having now spoken to the Twinnies a fair amount, they're just very blunt. And they're very, like, they don't censor themselves. They told me that they were actually told by the producers that they had to stop swearing so much because none of their footage was usable. And I think that's just kind of the
They're not politically correct. Yes, absolutely. So let's take a few more questions, Jessica Frey, with Jessica Lees, and then we want to hear some good stories. Joshua says, were the Twinnies the most unspiteful ousted reality show contestants ever? I mean, there are a lot of reality show contestants who do take it well. What do you think? Good attitude from the Twinnies?
Oh yeah, they seemed completely okay with it. Disappointed, of course, but not disappointed in like an angry, bitter way.
Yes. Okay. So let's talk about some of the things that went on at the TarCon. Now you've been talking about TarCon with me all season long, and TarCon's so TarCon is the year. Amazing race. It's the highlight. Yeah, and you get to have it twice.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been in a couple of them, so this was like my comeback. So.
Oh, good. Come back to TarCon. Welcome home, Jessica. So tell us about the event.
Well, we have every season at the end of the season, there's a party at a bar in Midtown, and fans come in from all over. Like, I gotta be honest, I probably wouldn't come to every TarCon if I didn't live across town, but we have people that fly in from, like, Chicago and South Carolina and Ohio, and you see the same people over and over, and you kind of have a little fan community built up, and we watch the show together, and then racers usually have their own party, and then they leave their party and come to our party and hang out after the show. So this year,
all right. So
we had about half the racers. It was a great time.
Now, how come some of the racers don't come? Were they too good? Too good for TarCon?
Well, they have to pay for their trip to New York themselves. So in seasons where everybody is best friends, everybody will show up. Because they'll all have places to crash, and they'll get together, they'll share hotel rooms, they'll crash on people's floors. But this season, half the teams did not come because I heard scuttlebutt that they were not happy with the outcome. And some of the teams didn't bother, and some of the teams actively did not show up.
Well, who didn't show up? Tell me, who was bitter?
Of the final four, we only had two teams. Twinnies because they in New York, and we had the Beekmans, also because they are local, but because the winners almost always show up, since I think CBS does pay for the winners to come. So when you
so
get
no
the guest
Chippendales
list,
and no Chippendales, no Trey and Lexi.
No.
Well, what's their problem?
They're not local, and they weren't happy with the outcome. I think if one of the teams had won, they would have been there, and the other teams would have been there to support them.
Really? So, wow. I had no idea.
As soon as I saw the guest list, that was one of the ways I knew the Beekmans had won, because I saw that guest list, and I thought, there would have been other teams coming and happy about it if the outcome had been different.
Interesting. who else skipped out?
I can tell you who was there more easily. We had the Beekmans in the 20s, and Caitlin and Brittany, the blonde-haired ones. We had Will from Garrett and Will. We had Abba from James and Abba. And I believe...
Gary couldn't make it?
Gary could not make it. I think I would have known if he'd been there. He's kind of easy to spot. But Will was there, and he was there with his twin brother. He was little. Yeah, Jessica Frey wanted to know.
Another Twinny?
Little.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are also
why
twins.
Why not? Yeah.
And,
all right.
Abby
well, you
Ryan
know, let's bring in.
Well. So, yeah, let's bring
all
in
right,
Eric.
Let's bring in Eric because I know he has a lot of good stories too, and he was there. So let's try this out. Eric, how are you doing?
I am doing good. How are you doing, Rob? Jessica?
Eric.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you. So, all right, so good. So we have my Amazing Race Brain Trust here with us. Eric, can you speak more to why the Chippendales and Trey and Lexi didn't want to come?
On the record or off the record? I can say this, Rob. I'll be interviewing them all this week, and I believe for your website, so we can definitely get the answer straight from them later this week. But I really think it was just a logistics thing for Chippendales and Texi. Like Jessica said, CBS wasn't paying for them to fly out, and, nobody's really liking the Beekmans at the moment. Or at that moment of the end of the race.
Yes, and I will also add, if you did not see the Amazing Race finale, you can catch up with Eric's recap on robhasawebsite.com. I just posted it this morning. Great job and a great season of video recaps as well. I know a lot of people who do not even watch The Amazing Race. They just watch your recap, and it saves them about 50 minutes a week.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And they read books in that time. Yes, and they help feed orphans in that time. So it's really, you're doing the God's work. So well done, Eric. all right, so guys, tell us, so give us some good stories from what happened for all of us that couldn't be there.
I wanna hear from Jessica what it was like, because I'll give you my perspective on one moment that I'm still not being able to let go of, and I know Jessica was on the other side of this moment, so I'm very interested to hear what it was like.
Oh,
I walked in the middle. Oh, yeah, you'll know in 1 second. I walked in the middle of the group of racers at Tarkon. So the stairway kind of went down, and then it turned, and when it turned, everybody could then see the racers, all the Tarkon people, and you had to go down the stairs. So I think James and Abba went first, and everyone's applauding them, and then I think maybe the twins went next, and that's when I realized I'm in the middle of this group of people that are being applauded as racers, and now I have to go down the stairs. So it was kind of like, womp womp. I just turned the corner and was like, I'm nobody, and everybody was cheating.
This is Eric Curto from Reality Recaps. Yes.
Random people. Like, it was fine. And I wouldn't be surprised, somebody must have recognized you at some point, because people recognized me. And I'm barely on camera.
I also have a good Twinny story for you, allegedly.
Yes, tell us. Yes.
Apparently,
those are the best
they
kind.
Completed that little mushroom task before Beatman's, and were on their way to the mat,
yes.
And sort of maybe production made them go back saying you didn't do it correctly, which let the Beatman's get ahead of them to win, which is why they were very unhappy at the mat.
Well, I saw that in your video this morning, Eric, and I wanted to know why would, you know, it makes it seem like conspiratorial, but why wouldn't CBS or why, I shouldn't, CBS probably has nothing to do with it. They get the tapes from the people who make The Amazing Race and they put them on TV. But why would the producers of The Amazing Race not want to have the Twinnies, who are the most polarizing team on the show, in the final three? I feel like that part doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I'm going to ask them that, and we will get to the bottom of it. I'm not sure. I really don't know. I'm giving it to you what they told me, and that's what we got during one of the commercial breaks after that scene, was that they were definitely upset in the way that went down. And they said they're going to tell me everything. They said this week they want to air it all out. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, no. Yeah. See, I just feel like sometimes on reality shows that it's harder for the reality star to admit, hey, I screwed this up, and say, oh, no, production, they screwed us. They made us do that. And, you know, sometimes I'm not going to name names, but I know a few reality stars who are really big onto this. If it wasn't for production, I would have won. And sometimes I think you need to look in the mirror and say, no, that wasn't the case. Because especially when it makes no sense that production would want Twinnies in the finals more than the, you know, it wasn't like the Beekmans have are like Mark and Bopper, where we're like, oh, go Beekmans. I know Eric is, but for the most of America, it wasn't like they captured the hearts and minds of the country and we were all wanted to see Beekmans win.
I think it was kind of the opposite, actually. I feel like production was going to make the Beekmans introspect, which isn't to say they aren't great guys, but they got a very, very good edit.
I agree with Jessica on that. I heard that maybe behind the scenes they weren't the most likable. I definitely like Beekmans. I'm happy that they won. I just felt like they have a business. They're good. They saved their town. So they don't really need the million. I kind of wanted Chippendales to get it. For that reason, but I mean, I'm happy they won. It's hard. It's hard when you like all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, what's going on with the Chippendales? That are they're trying to raise money now? Have you heard about this?
They are trying to raise money for James with a Y. for his dad. His dad has cancer, so they're trying to raise money to help pay for his dad's, medical treatment.
Okay. Now, did they both win the car this week?
I believe both won the car this week.
Now, Eric, in your video, you talked about how you were not impressed with the features on the new Ford featured on The Amazing Race.
No, I was not. I don't understand. You have to press the button. You have to press the button so your hands aren't free. So you have all the stuff in your hand. You need a hand to press the button. And I know me, if I'm holding a whole bunch of stuff, then I'm supposed to stand there and start kicking my leg. I will fall over. I will lose. No, I think it's a horrible feature. Don't like it. Sorry.
Yeah, you're falling, and then the trunk comes up and hits you on the way down, too. That's really...
Exactly.
That would be perfect. they can't have this key work, like, with Bluetooth, if it's in your pocket, maybe, that you could just sort of just walk over there.
Don't know.
That'd be good. Anyway, but forget about product placement for the car. All I wanted was a pizza in the second hour of The Amazing Race.
A Lombardi's pizza, New York's best. And how could you not know Beekmans were going to win when the final leg is in where they lived and worked? Like, I don't really feel that was fair. I think they need to do something out on the final leg because... Might be wrong, Jessica. You are so much better on facts. I remember nothing. if other teams did the final leg where they lived.
It's not the first time this has happened. And it's also not written in stone that if you go to your hometown for the final leg that you're going to win. And they plan the race out so far in advance. It's basically, unless they arrange it so that nobody's hometown is the final leg, it's kind of hard to avoid that. In fact, the first season of Amazing Race, I think they have the course set before they even cast, in most cases. In the first season, the team that ended up getting second place, final leg was in New York, and the team that got second place was New Yorkers.
Okay.
Right.
All right, well, Jessica, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to wrap up with Eric, but thank you for all of your fine work with The Amazing Race this season, and we'll see you again next season.
All right, hey, before I go, can I tell you one amazing thing that happened at TarCon that was like, it was super thrilling for me. I was chatting with Beekmans.
Go for it.
And Brent looks at me, and he says, "I've seen your face before. I know you from somewhere. Do you blog for Rob Cesternino?"
Oh, now I love the Beekmans now.
I said, I said, do a podcast with Rob. You got to get in touch with him. So we'll see.
Yes. But... Oh, well, that's great. Great. Well, fantastic job, Jessica. Excellent work. And we'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy your off season.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Yes. And a very Fishback-esque sweater today. So, all right, there you have it. There's Jessica Lees. Love Beekmans. Top three greatest race winners of all time, right?
Sure.
based on some new information that has been sent to me. Eric, tell us about any good, I hate to take the lowest common denominator. Any good gossip from the party on Sunday night?
Apparently ABBA doesn't like the recaps. Or James. I don't know which one you were while you were choking me.
Yes.
Other than that, the gossip is actually the opposite. They're all friends now. Everybody that hated each other before, all the animosity... Everybody's all lovey-dovey now. Ryan and Abby made up with the twins, not with Chippendales, but with the twins. They're like best friends right now. They said doing press all week long, they were able to work through a lot of their issues. And they all seem to be okay with what happened twins are thrilled that Beekmans took their spot and then took it to win. So they're cool with the Beekmans now. Like Jessica said, it was Beekmans, Ryan and Abby, the Blondes, James or Abba. Sorry. The Gary and Will. And I believe Gary was there for the viewing. I might be wrong. They also did not want to talk to me. And
really? What's their problem?
I think people either like the recaps, get that it's a joke, or they think I seriously feel this way about these people. So, you know.
Yeah. People need to get a grip. You know, that. But I mean, what's worse? You're making a video recap of the show that they were on, and maybe they weren't your favorite, or here's somebody who doesn't even know anything about who they are, so they're only going to talk to their sycophant admirers. They can't, you know, you got to hear it from both sides. You got to take your medicine, too, on these reality shows.
And I will say, James and or Abba was great. Adam from Big Brother actually mended that heavy metal bridge and smoothed it all out between us. So by the end of the party, everything was fine.
Good. Good to hear. All right. So anything else from the finale weekend? Any good stories from the secret VIP party?
I feel a little awkward. I'll be honest. I don't know what I'm allowed to reveal from these people. All I will say is they're all going to be on this coming up week. For you, I believe we're putting them exclusively on your website, so we're going to get to a lot of these questions.
All right, well, great. You are a good friend to the racers, Eric. You have not betrayed any of their confidences. That is what you cannot reveal your sources for your information if you want to continue to get good intel in the future. I understand as a journalist.
I can reveal. I just, you know, I told you the twins. That was a big one. I also don't want to throw a lot of conspiracy theories at you guys. But yes, I think the twins was a big one. They do claim they should have beat out the Beekmans. It was clearly production stepping. They have given.
Okay, well, I want to hear how, because I'm not buying it, because there's no. I just don't see the motive to screw the twinnies over.
I know. I don't either, but I'm going to ask them. I'm going to ask them for you. And I will say also, Rob, they all love you. They all know who you are. People kept coming up to me and being like, you do the recaps for Rob. We love them. We love Rob. We watch some of his video. Like, they all knew you.
Okay, well, good stuff, Eric. Well, thank you for all your hard work this season, and we'll look forward to your videos this week.
Yes, thank you, Rob. Thank you for having me.
All right, take care. Happy holidays.
Bye, yes, happy holidays.
Bye. Take care. Bye. All right, there you go. Eric Curto, everybody. So, all right. So let me go. I want to get into a couple things before we bring in Tyler Sloan. A few things real quick. So I am sort of in a bit of a crossroads with this show. Not so much Rob as a podcast, but the Rob has a web show in this show in this time slot. And so after a lot of soul searching, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to cancel Rob has a web show as a standing show in 2013. So going forward, I think I'm not going to do the standing web show here. I know you guys are here live, and I appreciate you guys coming out to watch us every week. But the thing is, I am not going to do any less shows, but I think the idea of this live show in this spot, I think I could do things like cover the Amazing Race more effectively closer to when it happens. I think that I get a lot of complaints from people who can't make it in this spot. And I know it's fun for you guys that are here live with us, but the archived web shows do much worse in my archives than the podcasts do. So I'm not going to stop doing web shows. I'm going to continue to do Survivor Know-It-Alls, which I think has been a big hit for us this season. But to do a second web show, and have it every Tuesday. This is when we end up doing things like talking about celebrity wife swap last year in January. And then we're talking about, like, all, you know, spending a lot of time covering The Bachelor. And it's more like, oh, we're doing a show because we have to do a show, and not necessarily because there's anything to talk about. So I hope you guys aren't too upset about this. We're going to do one more web show on Tuesday. I'm a little up in the air, though. I kind of want to do a holiday show because Survivor will be over, Amazing Race will be over, but I still want to do one more web show before the end of the year next Tuesday. So here's what I have on. I haven't gotten very far with this. I have we've booked LaJuan, and LaJuan is supposed to. We're going to do a segment called "It's LaWonderful Life." And we're going to have LaJuan sing some Christmas carols. And then, so far, that's about it so far. Maybe I'll read The Night Before Christmas, or maybe not. But here's what we should do. Let's take a vote here. Should we do that in this time slot next week, or should we do it on Tuesday evening next week? Is the nighttime better for most people? Okay. So maybe next Tuesday night. All right. So next Tuesday night, so this is going to be the last web show here for the morning. And I'm not saying we're never going to do another web show. I'm just saying that I'm going to only do web shows when there's a reason to do a web show rather than catch-all type shows. Even though, you know, it's fun, I feel like more often than not, maybe I don't have enough stuff to talk about for an hour on these shows. But what I'm going to do instead is do a dedicated podcast for The Amazing Race next season and a dedicated podcast for The Celebrity Apprentice. So there will be a show after every episode of both Celebrity Apprentice and The Amazing Race, plus all of the Survivor content. So I think we're going to have podcasts for you guys 5 days out of the week next season coming into the spring. But we're not going to do any of them live except for Survivor Know-It-Alls right after the show. And so what I'll probably end up doing is do a Celebrity Apprentice, a podcast on, say, Sunday night after the episode, and then an Amazing Race podcast on Monday. And what I'll try to do is do the Amazing Race podcast more like the Survivor podcast, where I will try to get an Amazing Race former contestant or somebody like Eric or Jessica, who's an Amazing Race expert, to talk about the show with every week. And I did that a couple of weeks ago with Jessica. I really liked doing that more. I was able to get into more detail than I'm able to on the web show, and I can concentrate less at, like, trying to read the chat room and talk and, you know, not be a total disaster the whole show. So I think that I could do that better. And I'm also going to be doing some upgrades to the Rob Has a Podcast studio in the Survivor off season. So I think that I'm going to be investing more in audio shows than in web shows. But I think we're going to have some upgrades on that front also. So that's basically what's going on with that. And I hope you guys approve of these decisions. And if not, you know, I always, you know, give myself wiggle room to adjust. So based on your reactions from, this season and a couple of weeks ago when I did the experiment with Jessica, I think this is what more people said they wanted. So we'll see. And Jessica Frey approves, and she has to work harder than anybody to produce these web shows. So, and she's still going to, we're still going to do Survivor Know-It-Alls. And speaking of Survivor Know-It-Alls, we are going to be live with you not only tomorrow night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern, but we are also going to be live with you with Stephen Fishback right after the Survivor finale and reunion show at 11:15 p.m. Eastern. So that is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to get all reactions to the winner of Survivor 25. We're going to talk about everything from the reunion show. We'll get our first sneak peek at Survivor 26. So that's always one of the most fun shows out of the year, the live show right after the reunion show. And, who's the guest this week? Yeah, well, I had been saying, you know, I like to close out a season with some winners, and it's been far too long since we had her on the show. She's the reigning Miss Survivor. We're going to bring Parvati back to close out the Rob as a Podcast season and talk to her about the looming Miss Survivor 2013 competition coming for January. So we have a lot to do in the off season too. So should be a lot of fun. Speaking of a lot of fun, yesterday I had the opportunity, I went down to the Soup, and I was part of a skit that they're doing for. They're doing a special. Everybody knows that the Mayan calendar is about to come to an end, thus meaning the world will be ending, I believe, in 10 days on December 21st. So make sure, if you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, and you are feeling lucky, don't sweat it. If you're not feeling lucky and you don't, and you think the Mayans might be full of it, don't forget to support Rob as a Podcast and get all the great deals on Amazon when you go to robasawebsite.com/Amazon. But that's only if you think the Mayans are BSing. Because if the Mayans are right, save your money, don't support this podcast, and go buy drugs and stuff or whatever. You basically got 10 days of, whatever you want to do. Not that I support drug use. I'm just saying, if you ever wanted to try drugs and you were convinced the world was going to end in 10 days, it's kind of like, why not? You know, it's, but whatever. But again, I don't want that, this my message to be misconstrued. So I went to go to the Soup, and I was part of as reality stars, people think that we're very inconsiderate and we don't care about other people. But many of the reality stars, we feel bad for probably bringing on the end of civilization, because, you know, the Soup has been following all of these reality stars for many years, tracking this storm that's looming of impending doom for civilization, and it's finally going to happen. So us reality stars got together on the Soup, and we did sort of a We Are the World type parody. And I got to be in the skit, and it was a lot of fun. Had a great time yesterday. I saw my old friend Jerry Manthe was there with us, and then a lot of other great reality people. I saw I hung out a little bit with Kaylin from The Bachelor and Bachelor Pad, who we talked about quite a bit. And I like Kaylin because I am not an Emily fan. I feel like Emily really tried to, you know, try to make herself look good at Kaylin's expense. I told them that. I saw fellow Rob Has a Podcast Fantasy Football League alum Charlie O'Connell was there. I saw, I was with Sanjaya. I got to hang out with Sanjaya for a little bit. We saw, Joel McHale was there in the sketch as well. Who else was there? We had, New York was in the sketch from I Love New York. There was supposed to be somebody from Big Brother, but they were a no-show. And I'm not going to name names of who it was, but there was supposed to be somebody. There was supposed to be somebody there. Let's see. Ron Jeremy was there. And so he was from Surreal Life 3. But it was actually very sad that Ron Jeremy. Let me see if I can show you guys a picture real quick. Let me show you my photo of, let's see if you guys can see. Here's me with Sanjaya. Can you make that out on the webcam? There's me with Sanjaya from yesterday. Here's me with Kaylon from The Bachelor and Bachelorette. And we have the same taste in shirts. Very good. Let's see if I have any other. Oh yeah, the guy who doesn't really speak any English from Tila Tequila was there. So then, and then we got a good, Jerry got a really good picture, but here's a picture of Ron Jeremy sleeping on the set of the show. You know, Ron Jeremy, he's getting up there. He's had a busy life, so he's getting up there in years, and you know, it's tiring to be Ron Jeremy. So there he is. He's you know, he got some you know, caught 40 winks there. Yeah, and then here's me with Jerry also from yesterday. So there's, you know, we had a lot of fun yesterday, and And here's another picture from that I posted yesterday on my Instagram of me with Mark Burnett from 10 years ago tonight from the toga party. I got kicked out of the game, and I guess I took a shower, and I shaved my beard, and I put on a toga, and I hung out with Mark Burnett, and he wore a shirt that said Jackass, and then he pointed at me. So that was there's my picture from 10 years ago today. I've put on a lot of weight since then. Put on a lot of weight since 10 years ago today. I've actually lost weight from 9 years ago, but from 10 years ago, I put on a lot of weight. All right. So, let's bring in, by the way, the soup special is going to be on next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow night. Instead, you know, Survivor is going to be over. I think the 19th is when you could watch the soup special. I want to say it's at 10 p.m., but check your listings for the different time zone. All right, and then let's bring in Tyler Sloan, as it is time to go ahead and talk about what is coming up this Wednesday night and then this Sunday night. Tyler, how are you?
Doing good, Rob. Doing very good. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, Tyler. Thank you. And now, Tyler, are you going to do the show with me, or do you have one of your loved ones that's going to come on and tell me what's actually going on?
It's actually going to be me personally doing this show. I can't have a loved one, unfortunately, come on.
Fair enough. Good. Because I'm tired of these loved ones coming in and telling everybody what's going on. All right, Tyler, so we didn't get to talk to you last week, so you've got a secret scene that you want to share with us. And so before we get to that, you want to give us your latest findings? How do you feel? Do you feel good? You've been a Scoopin' and Lisa supporter all along. Are you feeling good that they will be the pair that ends up on top here versus Malcolm and Denise?
Well, I have to tell you, after voting off Pinner the previous week, my belief in Scooping getting in was starting to go down a little bit. I was starting to think, you know what, Malcolm and Denise, this game just about wrapped up. But the fact that we have a final five right now, have the episode Wednesday, which means we'll get down to a final four, and then the finale on Sunday, leads me to believe that we're probably going to have a final two, and that gives Scooping an opportunity and Lisa to win this game, potentially, if they can get to the final two with each other. Because I think if Malcolm or Denise get there, I think one of them will probably take it at this point.
Okay, I think that's a good point. I agree with what you're saying. So, Tyler, let's go ahead. Let's watch this secret scene, and then we'll come back and talk about it. So you want to set this clip up for us? What are we going to be watching in a second here?
This is Malcolm potentially making his pitch for fan favorite of the season, but he's the fans a reason to that training before the show can help you out on the show.
Okay. All right, good. So I'm interested. I haven't seen this yet. I'm interested to hear what Malcolm has to say, and I'll give my thoughts of what kind of training people could be doing. So, all right, we're going to all hit play. I don't think if I hit play, it does it for everybody. So we're all going to hit play. I'll give you, it's going to be like you're watching the Survivor Amazon DVD commentary. All right. So everybody, I'm going to count down to 3, 2, 1, ring the bell. And then that's too complicated. Just do it on one. Okay. Cause then I got to take my hand off the button and hit the bell. So on one, we're all going to hit play. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
I've been a fan of Survivor since the beginning. It's not a joke that in my family growing up, this was the only show we were allowed to watch on weekdays. And when I found out I was going to actually get to come out to the Philippines and do this, I practiced a few challenges, some of the stuff that comes up regularly from other seasons. And one of those things is tying sticks together and using it like an extended arm to do something. I didn't have sticks and twine. I had golf clubs and shoestrings, but that's something I actually practiced 48 hours before coming out to the Philippines. I was sitting in the yard with my set of golf clubs and shoestrings stripped from every shoe I had in my closet, tying as fast as I can, just like the challenge was today. And for it to actually be a very critical win for me that gets me to the final four, essentially, that's something I predicted and trained for, is it's just an ironic, funny, but, you know, it's an ironic, funny feeling, but it really makes me, it's an edge for fans everywhere of Survivor. If you're a fan, you're going to come out and be on this show. Practice stuff. It just paid off huge for me. You've seen the tying six thing is a regular thing. And I knew that. I practiced it. And that's what the challenge came down to today. And now I'm in the final four because of it. I have no worries for 5 days because I tied golf clubs and shoestrings together for an hour in my yard.
All right, there you have it. So Malcolm prepared to go on Survivor. And Survivor is a lot like The Price is Right. Just like you would, you know, get ready to go play Plinko. You know, they do the same things over and over again every season. So, yeah, that's a great advantage that fans have on Survivor. And Russell Hance might say the game is flawed. The game that this, how do you let people who just watch the show do better than people who are better at the game? That's flawed. That's a flaw in the game.
but people that watch the show should be voting in the end, according to Russell.
Yes, I guess so. So, but Russell can't have it both ways. So, yeah, it's a good job by Malcolm working on something and then practicing it and then going out there. So, good on him.
Right, and for him, it's a double immunity win since he has that idol. You know, he's going to automatically get to the final four. And one thing I'm really interested in next episode is if Malcolm can win immunity again, does he keep that necklace or does he give it to somebody else?
Interesting. Well, if you would think he would give it to Denise, that would be the obvious thing.
I don't think so. There's another secret scene from the previous week, Rob. Malcolm is talking about his final four, and he's talking about how Lisa so wished she was necessarily the smartest guy in the world, and he's talking about, he's like, those are two people, you know, I'm planning on all three that you'd be up against.
Okay, interesting. Now, Tyler, are you ready for me to give my official endorsement for fan favorite for this season?
Hey, I'm ready when you are. You know, it's your endorsement. Feel free at
yes.
any time.
Okay. Well, I said this a couple of weeks ago that I was going to endorse a candidate for the fan favorite award for this season, the Sprint fan favorite, which I believe is a $100,000 prize. And so I am going to reveal for the first time publicly my endorsement for this season. Here we go. You know, we could swing the vote. This is a huge endorsement, Tyler.
You care a lot.
And if we do, in future,
within the community. So.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And I will give you my endorsement and I will tell you why. My name's Rob Cisternino, and I am endorsing Jonathan Penner for fan favorite. And here's why. Jonathan Penner, first off, I get to do a fun impression every time he comes up, and it's all the more reason for you guys. You get to hear more Penner impression if I do it. And so, and I thought as he said it, he said a couple of weeks ago, he said, "You know, the thing about Survivor is that Survivor is a lot of fun, but it's also a lot of pain." And so Jonathan Penner has been through a lot of pain. He's never won the game. He's never topped, seventh place in the game. So he's really put in a lot of days on Survivor, and he hasn't really come away with a lot of cash from Survivor. And as many Survivors have reported, Penner has been so entertaining. He's been so much fun to watch over three seasons. And I know some people say, okay, oh, he didn't play a good game and didn't, whatever. That's the $1 million is for the person who played the best game. I say to you, who gave you the most enjoyment? And I would say that person for me, the person who has delivered the most entertainment, has been Jonathan Penner. And for a lifetime, or not a lifetime, but like 5 or 6 years, for 5 or 6 years spent on entertaining us on Survivor, I endorse Jonathan Penner. Plus, Plus, he had to go through a pretty, you know, I know Scoopin' did too, but he went through a pretty harrowing thing with his leg from Survivor Fans versus Favorites. And I know Scoopin' had the thing with his hands too, and Scoopin' would be an okay pick too. But I would say I am formally endorsing Jonathan Penner here on Rob is a Podcast. And so when the phone lines open, I say Rob has a Podcast Nation. It's time to flex our muscle and show these survivors just what we can do. Vote for Jonathan Penner.
I think that's an endorsement, Rob, and you make great points because Penner by far is the funniest guy on this season. If it was me voting for fan favorite, to be honest, you know, other than the game is separate from fan favorite and the fact that I think Penner's had three chances to endear us to his personality, while everybody else has had one chance to endear us to their personality. So I try to, at least for this separate prize, kind of separate Penner, Swan, and Scoopin' aside, and I'd probably vote for Malcolm. He's been my favorite of the new cast as far as playing the game. So that's who I would personally vote for, but I don't think you can go wrong with Jonathan Penner either.
Can't go wrong. You do what you want with your vote, but if you're on the fence, I'm going to make the case why you should vote for Penner. All right. Tyler, thank you so much. Thank you for your outstanding work this season covering the show. This is the last Tuesday before the finale, so I want to thank you for your fine service this season, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again in the future.
For the finale, Rob, it's a pleasure doing this for you, and it's been great to for me, as the only survivor I've met ever, to get to talk Survivor with an actual survivor. It's been amazing. You're one of the people I admire most that have played this game, and it's truly been an honor.
Okay. As long as I'm not one of the people you admire most out of all humans, that's fine. Out of all the survivors, that's okay. Yeah, don't set your bar that low. Yes. Thank you, Tyler. Have a great day. I'll talk to you again sometime in the future, buddy.
Okay, take care.
Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Tyler Sloan, the last Rahat Porter standing for Survivor. All right, so got so much going on. I just got this across my desk. We have our official winner of the Tundra caption contest for this week, and I agree with Otis's pick. The winner of this week's Tundra caption contest comes to us from Brian Whitehead, who said tweeted with a picture of Kim Spradlin, "The bride may get cold feet, but you won't with a Tundra hat." So there you go. Well done of Kim in the window of the bridal shop. I think that was really clever. Tied everything in. So congratulations to Brian Whitehead. We'll get in contact with him and get him a Tundra hat. And you'll have another chance to win a Tundra hat this next week. I'll announce the new Tundra caption contest on Wednesday night's show. And, of course, all these great Tundra hats come to us from our friends at RobHasATundraHat.com. Save 25% on a Tundra hat with the coupon code RobHasACoupon. All right, everybody. That's going to do it for this week's show. Congratulations real quick to Amanda Kimmel, the latest inductee into the Survivor Hall of Fame. So great job there by Amanda. And that's going to do it for us here live on Rob is a Web Show this Tuesday. So we will be back with Survivor Know-It-Alls tomorrow night. We're going to talk to the next person kicked off Survivor on Thursday. Parvcast coming Thursday afternoon. Then it's finale night. Survivor Know-It-Alls live after the finale. Plus exit interviews with the final four coming to you on Monday morning. And then Rob has a podcast Christmas special sometime on Tuesday, probably in the evening. We're going to check with Lawan and make sure he can do it. Because that's right now, that's the highlight of the show. We don't have anything else planned right now, but we'll work on it. Anyway, thanks for everything. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Bye.